I wonder what moves you to tears, what makes you cry. Is there something that always makes you cry? I'll tell you mine. For me, it's the end of the Shawshank Redemption. After a long and sordid tale of prison life in America in the 40s, two friends reunite on the beach, and they unite in their hope. And I can't even read that to you without going. It gets me every time. I blubber like a child. Just ask Joanne. Maybe a letter from an old friend is what gets you. A nice encouragement, a thought for you and only you. Maybe that touches you deeply and we weep tears of joy. For some, I know it's true here, a hymn in church maybe sparks a memory from a wedding day or more than likely a funeral. And it sets us off, doesn't it? It's not a bad thing. It can be a release, that catharsis. It's really good for us. Sometimes you just need a good cry, don't you? And there's nothing we can do about it. You just got to let it out. You have to let it go. It's fairly uncontrollable. Tell me, folks, if that's not just me. Is that everybody? Yeah. Jesus weeps in our passage this morning. I'm going to assume you know about the donkey and the foal and the cloaks and the palm branches and the hosannas. But I wonder if that last part of Luke's telling has passed us by. Maybe you have heard of Jesus weeping over the city of Jerusalem, but maybe you haven't thought too much about it. Do you know, whenever we look at moments like these, the ones that come just before the cross, I think we find mystery, but always the heart of the Savior. I think that's well worth our time. Why would that be? Well, let's see if we can find something for our own hearts this morning. Why does Jesus weep for Jerusalem? Well, the first thing to say to ourselves is that our words are wind. That covers the well-known part of Palm Sunday. The people, they're excited to see somebody come from God, and he's in David's line, and they're full of praise, aren't they? They wave their branches in anticipation of a great military victory, and they praise God with their hosannas. The peace they want is to get rid of the Romans. But Jesus knows what it's really worth. This is misplaced enthusiasm for an earthly win and the bragging rights that come with it. No one in the crowds of Palm Sunday, folks, is thinking of sacrifice. None of them. They are convinced, you see, not by Jesus' words, but by his miracles. Did we see this on the way by? Jesus comes to the Mount of Olives and the crowd starts up, don't they? They joyfully praise God in loud voices. Why? For all the miracles they've seen. They've seen amazing things, so it's easy to cry out in praise. But their words are wind. They are gone. The same people, you know this, the same people will turn on Jesus in the blink of a few days. Why? Because they're living and worshiping by sight, not by faith. Now, you and I are the same. We need to be constantly careful with the big moments like Christmas and Easter. There are plenty who come out for the big events. They sing the songs. They bow their heads for the prayers. But give it a week. Give it a week. Real disciples are here every week. And they walk by faith, not by sight. It is different. But in case some of us would slip towards being a little bit smug, we should remember what's about to happen, what you're about to read and think about with me. Jesus weeps for them. Where is our weeping and our pity for those who just don't get it? I'll come back to that. Jesus weeps because of a missed opportunity here. He's come from God to declare peace. The people have some sense of that because they say that. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest. But they're thinking about peace in heaven. Future peace. We'll get our Messiah. We're going to whack the Romans and drive them out of our holy land. And then there'll be peace. That's what they're thinking. But then look at Jesus weeping with me. He approaches the city. He wept over it. And he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it's hidden from your eyes. The Jerusalemites, the citizens of the city of peace, Jerusalem, the city of peace, even they don't get it. They miss what peace really is. And Jesus bursts into tears. Like, weep is fairly strong, isn't it? We know what that is, to weep and our shoulders kind of go, don't we? And we sob. It can also mean here that he wailed. He wept and he wailed. He cannot contain his tears for Jerusalem and the people that she represents. They miss the peace that God is offering in him. And he breaks down. It's like coming to church for Easter and thinking it's about chocolate. It misses the point. It misses an opportunity. Now, are our words at Easter or any week in church like this? Are they just wind? Or are we listening for more, seeing more in the Savior himself? You don't need me to tell you, but I will. Easter is either a once-a-year event for you, or it's the foundation of an everyday relationship. Because words are just wind. If our words of faith and praise are empty, then we'll come to a day when we will lament a missed opportunity. We hate this, don't we? A missed opportunity. Jerusalem will do that first. Jesus not only says so here, but we have it in the history books. Jesus predicts what happened in AD 79, the fall of Jerusalem. It's all true, the embankment, the encircling, the siege, and the murder. Now, there's no history lesson this morning. I wouldn't do that to you. But it all adds up there to complete and total destruction. Not only the walls fall, but the people fall. And from the oldest to the youngest, we shudder, don't we, at seeing children mentioned there. That makes us shudder. It was as sure as anything in the world because they didn't recognize real peace. And it is real peace. It's peace with God that we're talking about. Jesus says as much in two different ways. If only you'd known what would bring you peace, but you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. What has God come to us for peace? Do you know, the people are praising here because they see an opportunity. Jesus weeps because they've missed it. They should be weeping. And they should have known better. Let me give you Psalm 137 very quickly. Keep your eyes on what's above me there and listen to this. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and we wept when we remembered Zion. There on the trees, we hung up our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of your songs of Zion. But how can we sing songs of the Lord in a foreign land? If I forget you, Jerusalem, peace. May my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I don't remember you. If I do not consider Jerusalem, peace, my highest joy. Remember, Lord, what the Edomites did on the day Jerusalem fell. Tear it down, they cried. Tear it to its foundations. Daughter Babylon, doomed to destruction, happy is the one who repays you according to what you've done to us. Happy is the one who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. They should have known better. we should know better too. We see the praise of Palm Sunday, and we praise along with it. We have missed the Lord's weeping over us and the call to weep alongside him. Because for Christians, missing our opportunity is to be lamented. Now, I'm sure at this point you're thinking, my goodness, Craig, this is all very serious. This is a bit heavy. You're going to upset people. They're going to think they're not taking Easter seriously enough. Yes, that's right. Because if our words are wind, we will lament the opportunities we miss to know God's peace and to share it with others. Now, how can I be so sure? Why be so serious this morning? Because in the foreground of all the shouting and the praising, I see my best friend weeping and wailing for the loss of peace and salvation. He approaches Jerusalem. He sees the city. He weeps over it, and he says, if you, even you, especially you, had only known that this day would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. They had it all. They had the Old Testament prophets. God spoke to them directly through his people about a Messiah. They had the Messiah. God's very Son comes with the words of eternal life and declarations that it's me, I'm here, I'm the one. And they reject him. They miss it. And that's it. That's all there is. There's nothing more that God or Jesus can do for them. And that's why he says that despite being God's very special people in God's special city, it is now hidden from their eyes. That is chilling. And it gets worse, folks. I'm sorry to have to tell you. We have the Old Testament and the New Testament, the same words of prophet and Messiah. We have the Gospels in their glorious detail, the testimony of 224,000 years of church history, and we still miss it. We might say that Northern Ireland's been Christianized, but not converted. We've been Christianized, but not converted. We know the basics. We know the words Jesus, sin, saved, but we don't necessarily get it. Is it for that reason that some or many now have these things hidden from their eyes? Folks, that's chilling, and it's true. And please don't think I'm giving off to you this morning. We've been here long enough. We've gone through enough together that I can look at all of you and say, listen, I love you guys. We've got to hear this. Because if it's not hidden from our eyes this morning, then you and I need to weep alongside Jesus for those who would reject him. I said this to us in my email on Friday, didn't I? Our coffee shops, our supermarkets, our office blocks, streets, families, churches are full of people who don't get it. They will die alone without Jesus, gone, lost, just like ancient Jerusalem. And we don't care. We don't weep for them. But Jesus does. And then he goes and dies for them. He gives one more piece of evidence of his love for them. One last example of real peace and what it really costs. I know you think me awfully serious this morning. But we can't read these words and ignore how seriously Jesus takes us. He weeps. He weeps for us. Let me pray for us. Father, this moment tells us that no one's loved us like Jesus. In these weeks leading up to Easter, we've heard him pray for us, commission us, and now he weeps for us. Father, count us among the known and the loved this morning. Dispatch us into our lives to weep for others, to pray for them, and to help draw them back to you. For this is the real Easter, that life comes from certain death, that light follows darkness, and that the perfect Savior wept and died for the likes of us. Father, show us again that amazing grace and give Jesus all glory, Lord, and honor.